discuss certain aspects of the so-called ranking cone deformations. So let's start by, excuse me one moment. So let's start by this, what I plan to talk first. I will try to recall some earlier results. There we will discuss the ranking cone deformations from two quite different points of view. And but in the end, I will try to discuss certain motivations about why we work on all these stuff. And I'm sorry, Nigel, it's the same thing that you heard before. And so let's start by define this gamma of n, a family of subgroups of SL2 of Z, and a modular form. So gamma is called a general subgroup. Gamma of SL2 of Z is called a subgroup, a congruent subgroup, if there exists number n such that gamma of n is included in this gamma. And a modular form of F, a modular form F with respect to a subgroup of gamma is a complex valued function defined on the upper half plane such that classically we suppose it to be holomorphic. And secondly, we have this modularity of way to k written in this form. And but in the end, we have some growth condition near the boundary, which is for certain analytical reasons that we will not use today. And using this definition, we have a natural graded algebra of modular forms, M of gamma, which is graded by the weight. So the product of a modular form of weight 2k tie with a modular form of weight 2r is a modular form of weight 2k plus 2r. Okay. Then in the ranking in the 1950s, and recall in 1970s, they stated the bidifferential operators on M of gamma, which produce new modular forms. That means as input, we have two modular forms, one of which 2k, one of which 2r, and we want to use exclusively the derivation as where and it's their weights. So there are no other operations allowed, and we want to get something modular. And the theorem of Henry Coyne in 1975 was that actually all these possible bidifferential operators are linear combinations of these brackets indexed by n. So here we have some quite complicated coefficients which involves the degrees, the weights of the modular, these two modular forms, F and G, and we have derivations. So the main point here is that the normal derivation D over DZ does not preserve modularity. Given a modular form of weight 2k, DF over DZ is not modular in general. Okay, so the modularity of this thing is and it took several pages, right, in Coyne's paper to prove that. And okay, so this FG index N is a modular form of weight 2k plus 2r plus 2n. And okay, so next we will try to present another point of view, another interpretation of these brackets following Donzaghi. So here we have some operation X defined on M2K of gamma, which has its image in M2K plus 2 of gamma. Okay, this was introduced by Ramanujan, which is written like this. Okay. It's quite complicated, but it has the advantage to preserve, meaning some extent, to some extent cancel modularity. It raises the weight by 2. And okay, so here we have the normal derivation with the coefficient. Here we have the modular form F multiplied by its weight, essentially K, and we have some other functions here. Okay. So Dalzagier introduced 2 series of elements by induction. So he fixed some phi, some modular form weight 4, and starting from F and G, we construct 2 families of elements. F of R plus 1 is X of F of R plus R times R plus 2K minus 1 times this phi, which is modular, times F of R minus 1. So the interesting point here is that everything becomes modular. So any F, N, and the GN, FR, any FGS is modular. And he proved that if we write down this formula, we will get the original ranking column bracket of index n. So the main difficulty just now, the modularity of this bracket becomes very obvious here. Okay. Next. Polar cone. So this is not the one who defined the bracket. So Polar cone, Urimani and Dalzagier, they worked on deformation problems related to these brackets. So they established some bijections between so-called formal series with modular form coefficients, with what they defined as formal invariant pseudo differential operators. We will see what these objects are in 1 minute, and just remind you that the main question that they studied is to find coefficients which depend only on the weights of K and KR of modular forms, such that such a formula, okay, an infinite sum where h bar is the formal parameter, we have the ranking column bracket of index n, we have the cn of KR, plus the bilinearity can give us an associative product on n. Formal series with modular form coefficients. So studied, and the basic idea is that given 2 formal series with modular form coefficients, they go this way to the formal invariant of the differential operators. They do the composition of 2 such operators, and they go back this way to get a formal sum, a modular form coefficient. Okay. So the first thing they observed is that it will give Cn of Kr as this. Okay. And I can assure you that this is not the most difficult, the most complicated coefficient that we will see today. There is one which is more complicated. And meanwhile, Elster observed that if you take every Cn of Kr to be 1, then this can also give you an associative product. Well, he did not prove that. So he did not give complete proof, but he calculated the first term that everything goes on well. And so we have such a situation. So we have, algebra, we have brackets, we have deformations here. So if we consider M of gamma as algebra, at the bracket level, first we have this Rankine brackets, and okay, maybe I should. Okay, and we have on one side the CNKR of Cohen, Manning, Zaki, and on the other hand we have the 1 of Elsa. Okay, so we need to try to unify the two situations, and what they did, Cohen, Manning, and Zaki, or the following. So given an element gamma of SL2 of C, it acts on functions, on smooth functions of the upper half plane in the following way. Okay. And under this action, the derivation becomes transforms into this, and they define this thing. Okay, this is the so-called formal pseudo-differential formal invariant pseudo-differential operator. Okay, so these symbols are all form pseudo-differential operators, and this operator has such invariance under the action of gamma. Okay, so use this, they get some more complicated coefficients, okay, by introducing this new parameter kappa. Okay, and so we have C and K air with a kappa here, and of Cohen, Manning, Zaki. So by taking a kappa equals zero, of course, we have such an inclusion here, but this inclusion is not clear, right? So you cannot see very clearly how you can get everything to be one from this formulation. And what they claimed in their paper was that you have this equivalence between this expression of these coefficients and this one. So if you can prove this equals this, then in this second formulation you take kappa equals 1/2 or 3/2, you get negative 1/4 to power n on the right hand side, because only j equals 0 survives, everything else will be killed. Okay, so you need to prove this in order to get this inclusion. So that was the situation until 2003, I think, before Cohen and Moscovici worked on this question. Okay, so that was published in something like 1994, 1995. Okay, next, now let's move on to something more, familiar with non-commutative geometry. So we have in the 1970s the construction of foliation system algebras, and in 1990s, Cohen and Moscovici worked on some so-called local symmetry of these non-commutative spaces, and the one result was that you have some universal Hopf algebras act on these foliation system algebras. Universal in the sense that this algebra, Hopf algebra, depends only on the codimension of the foliation. So in the case of codimension 1 foliation, you have this Hopf algebra H1, which as an hub, as an algebra, is universal in the enveloping algebra of the algebra H1 generated by these generators, okay, X, Y, and delta N. And the co-product is defined in this way. So Y and delta 1 are primitive while X is not. And the antipode is defined in this way. And for everything else, we generate it by algebra homomorphism. And then Colin Moskowitz defined something called modular Heck algebra, which we start by defining something very big. Okay, and we define M, this one to be the inductive limit of M of gamma of N. So it's really something which includes all which includes modular forms of all levels, and then we define something called the operator Heck form of level gamma, okay, in this way, and we ask this to be a map which has finite support and satisfy the covariance condition, like this. Okay. And under this, they succeeded in defining some associative algebra with this product structure. And the relation of this H1 with this A and gamma is as follows. The H1 acts on this A of gamma, okay, with X, Y, like this. And for general C, you have this. Okay, that's quite complicated, and let's see what we can write here. So we have an action of A of H1 of gamma, and in general, for general action, you have all these. Under the theorem of quantum Moskowitz, you state that, so you given a congruent subgroup gamma, you have this Hopf algebra H1x on this A of gamma, and the Schwarz derivation delta 2 prime is inner and implemented by such an element of weight 4. So to some extent, to understand this algebra A of gamma, you may just look this as the cross product of modular forms of all levels with the Heck ring, okay, then reduced by some projection which is related to gamma. So this was the formulation given by Colin Moskowitz. So, and the useful thing here, let's continue a little bit further. So Colin Moskowitz introduced also some notion called projectivity of Hopf algebra actions. So H1 acts on an algebra HA for which the action is called projective if there exists an element omega of A such that delta 2 prime of A is inner in this sense, and such that delta K of this omega is zero for all K. And then Colin Moskowitz defined two series of elements in the same spirit as Zagier did for M of gamma. Okay.
What's the geometric idea behind this projectivity?
I'm not very sure about that, actually. Yeah, it should be something like this. And okay, so this thing is very similar to the construction of Donzagi, and in this spirit, they constructed this so-called generalized ranking column brackets. Okay, so we have here Cn. Okay, and actually, so we have the third case. Okay. So why this is called generalized ranking column bracket? Because here in this A of gamma, we have actually a copy of all modular forms inside. And if we study what happens for these brackets RCN on these modular forms, actually, we will obtain again the original ranking column bracket. So that's why this RCN is called generalized ranking column bracket. And okay, as here we have a cross product construction. So if we admit for the moment the associativity of this error product, then we can have an associative product here, okay, by simply taking the sum, formal sum of all ranking column brackets, okay, of course, with h bar to power n. And in a more general case, we have also Kornan Moskovich developed another technique called the full injectivity, which means that there can be enough different H1 actions on different algebras, such that the associativity of this formal product can only be the result of some structures at the Hopf algebra level. So here with full associativity, injectivity, we get this theorem of Kornan Moskovich, the functor RC star defined by the sum of all RCN applied to any algebra A endowed with a projective structure yields a family of formal associative deformations of A whose products are given by F star G equals the sum of RCN of FG times H bar to N power. So that was situation in summer 2003. The two papers of Kornan Moskovich were put online in respectively in January and April 2003. And next, we will work on we will present two different points of view on these questions. So we will try to study the following questions. First, try to give some other interpretations of these brackets. Second, try to look for properties of these formal deformations. And in the end, so as I said in the beginning, we will try to present certain motivations for these studies. So now the first point of view is the ranking column deformations via the Fedosov quantization construction. So let M omega be a symplectic manifold of dimension 2n. The Weyl algebra WX is a formal is the set of formal series A of y h bar equals this, okay, where h bar is a formal parameter, y is a vector in the tangent space, alpha is the Martian index, and y to alpha is y1 to alpha, 1 to y to n to alpha to n. And on this algebra, we have the classical Moyar product, which can be written in this way. And this is a very famous non-commutative but associative product. And originally, Moyar studied these questions in the late 40s, trying to give some mathematical foundation for quantum mechanics or something like that.
Why algebra has a product itself?
So this is the family of formal series. Yeah, you mean?
I mean, is that like the Y calculus,
this
simple one, related to Y calculus?
Yeah, this is related to Y calculus.
The positive one goes to self-adjoint.
Yeah. This is related to Y calculus. We will see this in the motivation part. Okay. And, so our manifold, we have this concept of Weyl algebra bundle. Okay. This is a bundle where each fiber is a Weyl algebra. Okay, so the theory consists of considering certain special connections called abelian connections, so which goes from the smooth sections of the Weyl bundle tensor with exterior algebra to itself, which satisfies the Lipschitz rule, plus that for any section here, the d square applied on A equals 0. And the kernel of this D is a specific subbundle of W. And the theorem of philosophy says that for all A0, which is a formal power series with coefficients in smooth functions of M, there exists a unique section A in this subbundle of the Weyl algebra bundle, noted as sigma inverse of A0, such that sigma A equals A0. So what is sigma? Sigma of A is simply A of x0 h bar. Okay. So a corollary states that we have a bijection between this subbundle of Weyl algebra with this set of all formal power series with coefficients in C infinity of M. We can then define this algebra an associative product by going back, by taking sigma inverse first, then do the Moyar product inside the Weyl algebra bundle, and then project back to this set. So geometrically, what does it mean? So on every point, we have the Moyar product on the Weyl algebra. Okay, and these conditions tells us that if the geometry of the manifold is nice enough, then we can push the product at one point to the whole manifold. And you can just understand this in this way, and this will be fine. Okay, so another concept that we need to introduce is the so-called universal deformation formula for Hopf algebra H. It's an element of formal power series with coefficients in H tenth H, such that this kind of co-cycle condition is satisfied. And actually, this will give us formal associative products. Okay. So another thing is that H1, let's consider solvable two-dimensional Lie algebra y x equals the commutator of y and x equals x. Okay. So with Pierre Bielewski and Xiang Chang, we discussed first the universal deformation formula for U, the universal enveloping algebra of H1, of lowercase h1, and for Conor Moscovici, we have, if we ask all the delta k's in their Hausdorff algebra H1 x trivially, then we can get something that we call reduced Rankine-Cohn bracket, Rankine-Cohn deformation. Okay, so RC reduced is just simply this. So we forget all the delta k's. And we proved that this is equivalent to the Moyer product over the Apoff plane. So in general, Moyer product is defined for spaces of even dimensions, 2, 4, 6, etc. So, and in our case, we proved that actually this one is equivalent to Moyer product restricted on the Apoff plane. And also in the 1990s, there was a result of Giaquinto and John Tuard Bryce, and they proved that this element is a universal deformation formula for H1, and we also proved that this one is equivalent to Moyer over the half plane. Okay, so that gives us some feelings about the relations between Rankine-Cohn with the Moyer over half plane. Okay, so in general, in a general case, we construct a specific family of connections on the half plane, and to solve dA equals zero will give us a family of differential equations, and if we solve these differential equations, we will get two families of elements, an plus 1, bn plus 1, equals this, which is quite similar to the construction of Zagier and to Conor Moscovici. And so we consider this as a kind of geometric realization of Rankine-Cohn deformations, and also, we managed to prove the full injectivity in some similar way to that of Conor Moscovici. So finally, we get from another sign, from another way the. So we have this for some algebra. C, say CC, LH, cross product with pseudo group G or gamma, And actually, the advantage here is that the philosophy theory guarantees the associativity of the product. Okay, so, and we also give some geometric interpretation of that element gamma in the Conor Moscovici formulation, which is related to the connection. Okay, so this is the first point of view. And second point of view, very different, comes from the representation of the unitary representation theory of SL2 of R. So, for any modular form, a V2K, we can construct actually a smooth function on the object space of left directions of gamma on SL2 of R. And we have a natural right action of SL2 of R on this space. And we can prove, okay, so this gives us a representation of SL2 of R, and in turn, it gives us a representation of the complexified Lie algebra SL2 of C. We can prove by computing the Casimir operator that this is a discrete series of V2k. Okay, we need to compute the Casimir operator. We need to prove that actually this is irreducible, and we can actually bring the representation back to a subspace of functions on the upper half plane by taking actually for the discrete series of V2k, we know that so it had a base which consists of functions of weight of k weight 2k, 2k plus 2, 2k plus 4, 2k plus 6, etc. So we can bring this back using the inverse operations of these maps. And a theorem states that if you have two modular forms, you construct the two corresponding discrete series representations of SL2 of R, then you take the tensor products of these two representations. A theorem of Jourovka states that this will give the this tensor product can be decomposed into direct sum of discrete series, and in this way the ranking column bracket of index n actually gives up to scale the vectors of minimal k weight in the component pi of degree f plus degree g plus 2n. So this theorem, I don't know who was responsible in the math literature for this one, this theorem, but at least in 73, Deligne wrote the following remark, okay, in French, just for fun. So here he talks about modular forms with respect to GL2 of Z. So comparing to SL2 of Z, actually it's just some kind of two-fold covering, something like that. And he states that the fact that this tensor product contains a copy of this representation means that this thing is modular. So actually, we can imagine that he understands this perfectly, but he did not write it down in this form. Okay. So, using this, what does this mean in the explicit manner? Actually, this means that if we drop the holomorphic condition, if we only ask for modularity, then if we define this operator x tilde, okay, which no longer preserves modularity of functions, if f is a modular weight 2k, x tilde of f would be modular weight 2k plus 2, then we can have this, okay, this and so y is the degree operator, y of f, so if f, is in m2k, then yf is k times f, this is also written a little bit earlier, then that theorem states that on the classical holomorphic modular forms, Rc, the ranking column deformation using x, y, and r delta k's actually equals to the reduced ranking column deformation, which uses only x tilde and y. So, graphically speaking, you can think we have the modular forms here. You can think we have the Heck operators on this side. And Colin Moscovici says that we consider a very big algebra which is the cross product of the two, and you have the action of half algebra H1. And in the second formulation that uses the modular forms, that uses the representation theory, actually, instead of considering this tensor product, the cross product, we consider some an algebra which is a little bit bigger, which is M tilde, okay, with just the holomorphic condition. Okay, and on this one, we have an action of this time, actually, H1 equals generated by X tilde and Y. And the theorem tells us that if we restrict ourselves on the original holomorphic modular forms, these two formulations will give us the same result. Okay, so I have less than 10 minutes left. Okay, I hope. So by taking some technique things, so let's just skip them. So using this, we get the following theorem, which states that actually Cohen, Manning, and Zaghi, they have found all possible associative formal products, which is defined by linearity, and such a formula. Okay. So, which means on M tilde, okay. So all possible associative products with a ranking column bracket here of index n before h bar to n, and some coefficients which depend only on the degrees, the weight of f and g, also. With this assumption, they got all possible associative form products. And another proposition states that if gamma is a congruent subgroup of SL2 of Z, such that M of gamma admits the unique factorization property, okay, if we have four elements in this, such that the RC of F1G1 equals to RC of F2G2, then actually the pair F1G1 and F2G2 can be determined up to a constant. Okay, so this is quite a combinatorial, and just for fun, we have this. At some point, we need to show that there does not exist any positive integer roots of the multivariable polynomial. Okay, this. Okay, we have five arguments, K, R, M, R, T here, and we know by some other calculations that T and R equals to the two expressions. And the way to prove that is to input all these stuff into computer, and the computer tells you that actually this equals to that. This is, there is about 150 terms, but as all the coefficients are positive, so this could not have any positive integer roots. That's for sure. Okay, that's for fun. Okay, so now we turn to the last part. So why we study this? So classically, I think actually Moya presented his product on functions over the plane, okay, with this. And over the plane, we have also the wire calculus. So we have the wire product for two functions in the Schwarz space, which can be written in this way. Okay, this is one of the possible presentations of the wire product. So what are the relations between these two? The Moya product is considered is a symplectic expansion of wire product. And in late 80s and early 90s, Mark Riffle studied the actions of R to 2D on fifth algebra A, and if we write down this formula, we can actually complete A infinity, the smooth subalgebra of A, and this action alpha into a fixed algebra, and this gives us a full category of smooth deformations for in a category of fixed algebras. And he proved that the K-theory of deformed algebra is the same as the original one. So this leads us to the following scheme. Okay, so we have, classically we have the Y product, which has on one side as asymptotic expansion the Moir product, and which goes also to in the fixed algebra category to the Riffle deformation theory. And now we have a non-commutative Lie algebra action which gives us the Rankine-Cohen deformation. Is there any integral form which gives as asymptotic expansion the Rankine-Cohen product, and which can eventually lead to a deformation theory in the category of fixed algebras with the actions where under the action of some non-commutative least group, where that's a question that we are trying to figure out now. Okay.
Thank you.